Every single year that we have lived, every year, we would have faced challenges within each of those years. There's not a single year that did not have its own difficulties and challenges. Somehow 2020 is different from pretty much all those years that we have faced. To borrow a famous phrase, 2020 is a year that will live on in infamy. It is not yet even finished. And already we are looking forward to the end of it. This year has seen enough events to literally suffocate whatever little energy, whatever little enthusiasm we have that has been a part of our lives on a daily basis. Some have even questioned, some Christians have even questioned the authenticity of their faith. In other words, they are struggling from day to day, and then they begin to wonder if the faith they have is really genuine, because they ought not to be struggling as they're struggling. And to look at it from a wider angle, many have lost their jobs because of the virus. Many have lost income. Many have lost loved ones. Pretty much all of us have lost some level of our liberty. It is the year of losses. Some Christians have even wondered if they have what it takes to finish this race to the very end. And the passage that Brother Davis read, remember what Paul said? He said, I have finished the course. So the fact of the matter is that we are in a race. We're on a particular journey. And there are some who are questioning if they have the spiritual stamina to take them to the finishing line. Life is a journey, my friend. The spiritual life of the Christian is a journey with all its challenges. It's a journey. And if we're ever going to be successful in completing this journey, then that will depend on how well we utilize the tools that God has given us to aid us along the journey. Yes, that our God has given us tools, equipment to aid us and to help us as we travel on this journey toward the end. Some have given up. Some are considering giving up. What about you, my friend? Where do you stand in terms of your ability to finish this Christian race? Are you getting frustrated? One member said to me recently, I've just about had it. And many of us feel a sense of depression. As a matter of fact, I saw a recent statistics the other day that said up to 25% of people have become depressed as a result of COVID and its effects. No surprise there, no surprise. So for this morning, I want to speak to you on the subject, you were made for this. You were made for this. And I have chosen that topic because I believe that when we realize that we were made by God for this particular journey, when we understand that and understand the tools that God has made available for us, I believe that it will aid us better and help us better to travel on this journey and to finish this journey toward its destination. Yes, my friend, regardless of what you may think, regardless of what others may have said to you, you as a child of God were made for this. I want to present three points that will help us to understand this. First of all, you were made to begin this journey. You were made to begin this journey. One of the greatest questions of life is, why am I here? What's my purpose in this world? It's a question that we have often asked over and over again, questioning the reason why God has placed us on this earth. And if you look at the world and the way how things are going in the world, you get a distinct impression that the reason why we're here is to acquire material things, is to gain celebrity status, it is to become popular. That's what the world seems to be telling us. That is why when we are not getting enough material things, when we are not acquiring wealth, we feel like we are failures because we are not measuring up to what the world is telling us, why we are here. And so young and old are still trying to figure out how to be successful in this world and figure out the answer to that question, why am I here? But we were created by God, according to Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. We were created by God for no other reason, not for material wealth, not for celebrity status, not for popularity, but we were placed on this earth by the Almighty God to serve him. As a matter of fact, the wise man Solomon says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. In other words, God is saying that our duty, our purpose, our reason for being here is to serve God. Nothing else comes remotely close to that. The rich young ruler, in Matthew chapter 19, we all know the story. In Matthew chapter 19, the rich young ruler came to Jesus Christ. I think we're about from verse 18. He came and he said, good teacher, if you pick up at verse 18, what does it say, my brother?
He said unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Mm-hmm. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Mm-hmm. Young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me.
No, stop there for a moment, my friend. No, so the young man thought that he had done everything, and therefore God had a right to open the doors of the kingdom to let him in. He had done everything, he said. But Jesus Christ knew that this young man's priorities were not right. And Jesus Christ says, well, if you want to have eternal life and come and follow me, then go and give what you have to the poor, and then you can do that. Continue reading, sir.
But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions.
For he had great possessions. What's the bottom line here? The bottom line here is that unless God comes first in our lives, not our families, not our jobs, not our friends, but God himself, then we have missed the real purpose for being here. And the Bible says that when the rich young ruler heard that, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And we all know the story of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16. You know that story. Well, what a story that was, of the rich man who had everything he had in life. From about verse 19 following, the Bible tells us in verse 19 of Luke 16, what?
There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen.
Yes, sir.
And fared sumptuously every day.
So he had everything that he needed, yes. Mm-hmm.
And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Mm-hmm. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, and he was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom.
Before you continue, why is it that the rich man, who had everything he needed in life, why is it that when he died, the Bible says he woke up and found himself in Hades, in hell, in torment? Why? And Lazarus, who was poor, died also, but found himself being comforted in Abraham's bosom. Continue reading for me, my friend.
And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented.
Okay, you can stop the note. Do you see what is happening here? What is happening here, my friend, is that God is not concerned about what we have acquired in this life. Some of us are very good workers at our workplaces. Some of us have many friends and all of that stuff. But unless God comes first in our lives, unless we are genuinely serving him, all of these things matter to him not. All these things are a waste in God's eyes, because the reason why we were created was to serve the Almighty God. That's what I'm saying. We were made to begin this journey, but we begin this journey by serving God. And the Bible tells us that, you know, unless he comes first, we're wasting our time. You know, my friend.
Unless God comes first, wasting our time.
Who had some radical changes in their lives. We think of Peter and John in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. Peter and John, remember that these two men, they were uneducated, never had any formal education. They were mere fishermen. They couldn't speak. They had no education. But look at verse 13. After Acts chapter 4, after they met Jesus Christ, and after the church got started, listen what the Bible says in verse 13.
Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus.
Oh, because they had been with Jesus, their lives were radically changed and they began their journey new people, different from where they were, from who they were. Why? Because when you are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, then God makes certain that you are equipped for the journey. And the Bible says that everybody was amazed by Peter and John. And then they said, oh, we know why. It is because they had been with Jesus. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7, there's a statement that I find very profound from a man by the name of Paul, who was now giving us a kind of synopsis of his life before he became a Christian. And now that he's a Christian, Paul tells us in verse 7 of Philippians chapter 3, what does it say?
But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ.
Paul had everything he needed as a Jew. Before he became a Christian, had everything he needed in this life. But he knew that something was missing. Because the Bible says that when he became a Christian, Paul says, all those things that I used to strive for, these I have counted nothing. For what? For the cause of Christ. Because now that he's a member of the body of Christ, Paul realizes that he has been equipped, he has been given the tools to complete this journey that the Almighty God has placed him on. How about the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8? The Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. Now remember that the eunuch was on a journey going back home, coming from Jerusalem. He was on a journey going back home, but he was about to embark on a far more exciting journey. Yes, he was on a physical journey going home. But the Bible tells us that after he was taught the gospel and after he was baptized in Acts chapter 8, verse 39, look at the eunuch's reaction after he became a Christian. What does it say?
And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing.
And he went on his way rejoicing. I am saying that there's no more exciting journey to embark on than the journey of being a Christian that leads to heaven. None whatsoever. Notice as he was going back home, he was not that excited. The excitement came when he started his journey as a Christian. We can only do this when we submit our lives to the Almighty God. You know, it is the desire of Jesus Christ that all men be saved, 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. He wants every man to be saved. Yes, my friend, regardless of who you are, regardless of what you have done and regardless of what you're going through, you were made for this journey. You were made for this journey. Secondly, not only were you made to begin this journey, you were made to last this journey. You were made to last the journey. The Lord does not require any one of us. He doesn't require anything of us unless he first gives us the tools for the journey. He has never asked us, never required of us anything unless we have the tools or the equipment that will aid us in carrying out those commands. After 3.5 years of training, the Bible says that he called his disciples together. And in Matthew chapter 28, we all know the passage. In Matthew 28, just before he went back to heaven, after 3.5 years of training, he called them. And Matthew 28 verses 19 and 20, listen what Jesus Christ said to his disciples before he ascended to heaven.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, mm-hmm. baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
So look at this, my friend. For 3.5 years, Jesus Christ taught them his word. And now he's about to commission them to go into all the world and teach people. So he taught them so that they could teach others. And just in case they were worried about being alone, Jesus Christ says, you have nothing to worry about because I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. What did I say? I said that the Lord has never required of us anything until he has equipped us with the necessary tools. Never forget, my friend. Never forget that important thing, that you have all you need for this journey. Yes, we are on a spiritual journey right now, and you have the tools. For this journey, let me say this to you. Let me ask you, are you worried in this time of COVID-19? What a question to ask. But are you worried? Well, the Lord has given us the tools where that is concerned, because the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 26, Matthew 26, and this is a passage that you need to mark in the Bibles. In case you're worried about who's going to take care of you, what is going to happen, listen what Jesus Christ taught in the Sermon on the Mount. Yes.
Behold the fowls of the air, mm-hmm. for they sow not, mm-hmm. neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?
The birds of the air, they do not worry as we worry, but yet still they are taken care of by the Almighty God. And then the rhetorical question is asked, are you not of more value than they? So yes, while everybody around us is losing their head and pulling out their hair, worried and depressed and discouraged, the Christian must remember that he has been tooled by God. He has been given the equipment by the Almighty God to last the journey. In other words, you have nothing to worry about, because if God be for us, who can be against us? Do you struggle with doubts? Do you struggle with doubts? Not too sure if you're going to get back your job. Not too sure if you are going to be able to get back to some normalcy. Not too sure what life is going to be like after this virus has died down. Are you filled with doubts? Well, I have news for you. The Lord has given us the tool for that. Because in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, Hebrews 12 verse 2, listen what the Bible says.
Looking unto Jesus, mm-hmm. the author and finisher of our faith, mm-hmm. who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
So if you're filled with doubts, the writer says you must look unto Jesus, not the news, not to what your neighbor is saying, but looking unto Jesus, who's the author and finisher of your faith. In other words, he is the one that will take care of you. There's really no reason to be doubtful, because he has your back. So look unto Jesus. he says, who is the author and finisher of your faith. Oh, do you feel like sometimes God has given up on you? Do you feel like God has thrown in the towel on you? Well, look at what he says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Tell us what the scriptures say.
Let your conversation be without covetousness, mm-hmm. and be content with such thing as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
No, I didn't say that. He has said. He has assured us that in this time of seclusion, in this time of isolation, in this time of desolation, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Profound words. Are you afraid of death? Well, you know, so far, we have exceeded 180,000 deaths here in the United States alone. Across the world, hundreds of thousands have died already. And it's easy for us to get worried and concerned and afraid of dying. But listen to what he says. Because he said, I will never stand here and say to you, you will never die of COVID-19. I can't say that. It may very well be that one of us or some of us will die of it or some other disease. It may very well be. But are you afraid of dying? And listen to what he says John 11 and verse 25. Listen to what Jesus Christ thundered in John 11 and verse 25. Just the very words that the person who is worried, the person who is fearful, wants to hear. Listen to what he says in verse 25 of John 11.
Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live.
Well, let me tell you something, friend. There's no doubt that we will die. We all know that. Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed that a man wants to die. So we will die. But he says, don't worry, because I am the resurrection and the life. In other words, even though we die, it is through him that we will be raised from the dead. I remember on one occasion, Jesus Christ says, do not fear the man who can hurt the body, but fear the one who can hurt both body and soul and cast them into hell. In other words, Jesus has the power over life. And when he says, listen, I have you, then we have no reason to be fearful, we have no need to be doubtful, and we have no need to worry. These are divine promises. If we are going to journey and last on this journey, we're going to need these promises. And Peter mentions them in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. These are great promises that we need. Remember, my friend, there are over 8,000 promises found in the Bible. Over 8,000, because God knows that we're going to need these promises to help us along this journey. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, what does the Bible say?
According as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, mm-hmm. through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue.
Yes.
Whereby are given us exceeding great and precious promises, mm-hmm. that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
So he has given us these great, exceedingly great and precious promises. One of the promises he has given us is that he will make sure that we have all that we need to aid us on this journey. Isn't that wonderful? To ensure that we will lack nothing. Lack nothing. Thirdly and lastly, you were made not just to last for the journey, but you were made to be in heaven, because the journey takes you to heaven. You were made to be in heaven. Yes, my friend, critical to us completing this journey is our reasons for being servants of Christ. In other words, you must stop and ask yourself the question, why am I a Christian? Why do I remain a child of God? These are important questions. Because I believe, my friend, if you don't have good reasons, you're going to give up on this journey and you will never make it to heaven. Never make it to heaven. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, Peter speaks quite clearly about the importance of this reason. In 1 Peter 3, verse 15, it says what?
But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, mm-hmm. and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear.
In other words, you must be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks you, what's the reason for that hope that you have? Why do you believe that the best is yet to come? When I look at the end of the tunnel, I see more darkness. Why do you believe that there's a light at the end of the tunnel? In other words, why do you have hope? And that's a good, you ought to have good reasons where that is concerned, my friend. Well, you know, we believe that regardless of what we're going through, as Christians, we firmly believe that the best is awaiting us. We firmly believe that. John 14, verses 1 to 3, Jesus Christ had his disciples with him. And the Bible tells us that, you know, they were getting quite agitated. They were getting quite troubled and worried because Jesus Christ had indicated that he was going to leave them very soon. In verse 1 to 3, what does it say?
Let not your heart be troubled. Mm-hmm. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also.
Oh, did you see that? So Jesus Christ tells us that regardless of what we're going through, remember your ultimate hope is to be a part of those mansions, so to speak. And it's a figurative expression used by Jesus Christ. I go to prepare a place for you. Our hope is to be where Jesus Christ is. What's the reason for your hope? Well, because it is said not by a politician, but by Jesus Christ himself. And we know, Titus 1 verse 2, God cannot lie. We know that. So Jesus has promised that where he is, there we shall be also. So yes, my friend, you and I were made to be in heaven. I'm not making this thing up. That's what Jesus Christ has said. You know, in Matthew 25, verse 41, Jesus Christ tells us that heaven was made for us. Did you know that? Yes. In verse 41 of Matthew 25, listen to what Jesus Christ says.
Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, mm-hmm. depart from me, mm-hmm. ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for devils and his angels.
No, what that tells me is that if someone ends up in hell, he would have gone to somewhere where he was never invited. Never invited. Because hell was never prepared for you. But obviously, if you continue to reject the gospel, if you continue to live unrepentantly, then you will be in that place that was prepared for the devil and his angels. That's what the Bible says. Heaven is where you belong, my friend. Because what father there is who would not want his children to be where he is? What father? And so Jesus Christ says that where I am, there you may be also. No, my friend, Philippians 3 verse 20, Paul was quite clear. Paul says, your citizenship is in heaven. You were made for heaven. So don't get too comfortable here. Your citizenship is in heaven. In other words, that is where you belong as a child of God. That's what he says. Now, as I stand here this morning, I can't tell you everything that heaven is going to be like. I can't. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, Paul was quite clear in telling us about his view on that matter. In 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9, what does it say?
But as it is written, mm-hmm. eye hath not seen, mm-hmm. nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him.
In other words, our finite minds cannot fully comprehend all the things about God and heaven. And we can sing all these wonderful songs about heaven, you know, the pearl of white city, to Canaan's land and one more, all these wonderful songs, they still fall short of adequately describing the bliss and the joy of heaven. Just think about that, my friend. Think about that for a while. Paul tells us that no one has seen or heard all that God has prepared everything. But what I can tell you, though, according to the scriptures, is that Revelation 21 verse 4 says that God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There shall be no more pain, but the former things have passed away. That I can tell you. What I can tell you, according to 1 Corinthians 15 verse 54, is that this mortal shall put on immortality, and this corruption shall put on incorruption, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. What I can tell you, my friend, is that in heaven there shall be no racism there, no need for protests, because there'll be no injustices there. There'll be no rich and poor there. There'll be no exploitation there, no disrespect there, no hypocrisy, because only the pure in heart shall see God. Matthew 5 and verse 8. Only the pure in heart. I'm saying all of this to say this. There's no excuse not to finish this journey. Luke 9 verse 62, Jesus Christ says, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. And despite what Paul went through, you know all the stuff that he went through? Despite all the things that Paul went through, Paul has taught us that we have what it takes to finish this journey. That is why he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. And I have kept the faith. Wherever you are at this moment in time, maybe you're sitting somewhere in a living room, maybe on the front porch, the weather's nice, or in the dining room, or wherever. Are you a child of God? Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? Do you understand that you were made to be on the journey? You were made, my friend, to be in heaven. Do you understand that? But you have got to do certain things. Hear the word of God as you're seeing on the screen. You have got to believe it and repent of your sins. You have got to confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God and be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. There's a scripture for all of them right there before your eyes. As a Christian, do you feel like you're wavering? Do you feel like your faith is shrinking? Not as strong as it was? Do you feel like you're whittling under the pressure of COVID-19 and all that 2020 is throwing at us? There's no better time than to say, Lord, I am renewing my vow, my commitment to you, because I now realize that I was made for this. Let us bow our heads as we pray. Father in heaven, thank you for giving us all that we need to complete this journey. Sometimes, Father, we do feel like giving up. Sometimes we look around us and there's so much negative stuff happening that we feel like there's no need to continue reading our Bibles, praying, attending church. Father, these are the things that the devil will sow in our minds. But Father, thank you, O God, for reminding us that the very reason why we're here is to serve you. We were made to serve you. We were made, Father, to last this journey and to ultimately be in heaven with our fellow brothers and sisters and those who have gone on before us. I pray, Father, for those who are not Christians. May this message, Father, stir their hearts into action before it's everlastingly too late. For those who are Christians, O God, I pray that this is a moment in time when their strength, spiritual strength that is, will be renewed as they continue keeping on. Bless us, Father, I pray, each and every single one of us, in your Son's name, amen.